wayward sun has not yet pushed aside the soft shadows of the night. Mute, lost sounds of the night hover about like birds reluctant to leave. It is early morning for the world. WNYC, in cooperation with United Service for New Americans, presents One Early Morning. The tugs, the eager little muscles of river life, speed out in welcome to an incoming ship. Lines are hurled abroad like welcoming hands. The hawsers are made fast, and soon a ship lies at rest in the harbor of New York City. The gangplank is placed, and soon there is a scurry of activity. Porters race to check luggage. Officials move up the wooden length. Ship's officers prepare their manifests, and the customs men assemble themselves behind their barriers like merchants ready to open up shop. And behind the last barrier, eager waiting people rehearse again the greetings that sit on their lips. Another woman moves down the gangplank to shore. She's tall, stately looking. Her dark black hair is dramatic with sharp lines of white. As she draws closer, one notices the strange look in her eyes, as if she were peering far beyond what the ordinary eyes see. Have you ever wondered to what extent the human being can suffer? This woman, Mrs. Molyneux, she can tell you. Have you ever wondered how a heart can be tortured to the breaking point and then beyond? This woman, Mrs. Molyneux, she can tell you. Have you ever wondered how far a person can be driven until life itself is worthless and death an apparent blessing?
I can tell you. I can turn back the pages in my mind. I can turn back to where the black book was begun in the town of Kovno, Lithuania. There was the Orisinov ghetto into which I and my husband and child had been thrust. A dirty little stretch of world surrounded by barbed wire and bayonets. A little piece of world inhabited by Jews and their constant companions of starvation and typhus. And the yellow band on our arms. The yellow badge of the ghetto. And yet, strange as it was, we cherished hope. In the very mud and filth of the world, we nourished the grass blade of hope that grew in our hearts until one day they came. They marched into our ghetto one morning. They marched in on iron boots with their animal faces. Those of us in the street were forced to stand against the walls. Then they locked the doors of the houses and hurled gasoline and torches in. I watched my home burn. I watched the flame leap from room to room. They held my arms and slapped my screen back as I saw my husband and child for one eternal moment in the window. We in the street were sent away to work. That is what they told us. But what manner of work was it that demanded that we be showered and stripped of our belongings? What manner of work that herded us into a little concrete room? The gas that came in through the vents in the concrete room did not come as a surprise. We had heard of these gas chambers. We couldn't smell the gas, but soon we felt a choking in our throats and a dizziness mounted to our heads. In that moment before the coming of death, we were proud. We, the lost, the suffering, were proud. We knew how to die. Those of us who could stood upright. The others who sat did not sit in defeat. We waited for death as befits a proud, unbeaten people. But the death was too slow. I turned to the vent knowing that they would hear me outside. I turned and shouted to them, "Pigs! Why don't you kill us and be done? Do you think we're afraid to die? Do you think we are cowards like you? Kill us and have done!" I was removed from the gas chamber. I was removed and informed that they would find a different form of execution for me. First, they beat me. And in beating me, they almost destroyed their purpose. There comes a point in pain where the body seems to rise over its own suffering. Such was my numbness when they concluded and then again sentenced me to death before a firing squad.
Right shoulder! Arms!
And then again I knew I mustn't die silently. And as the fingers grew tight on the triggers, I sang. In my terror, I was no longer afraid, and I sang. The command ceased. The guns were lowered, and then...
You have a fine voice. It would be a pity to wipe it out. Can you sing Bach?
I could sing Bach. Had I not sung him many times before... Before huge crowds at the opera. You see, before the war, before the ghetto, I had been an opera singer. And in defiance, I sang "It Is Fulfilled" from the St. John Passion. I sang, and the execution was halted. 2 days later, as I waited in my cell for a new variation on the theme of extermination, the Red Army marched in and liberated us.
Now we bring you a message from a woman whose work and leadership have helped thousands of new Americans. Mrs. Herman B. Levine, Secretary of United Service for New Americans. Mrs. Levine.
In this Golden Door series of broadcasts, we have tried to bring you some of the drama and tragedy and hope and inspiration that are a part of the work for newcomers who find haven in the United States. All of them sound like storybook characters, but they are real people. We know them at United Service for New Americans. The only thing we have changed is their names. On behalf of United Service for New Americans, I wish to thank the City of New York and its offices for the opportunity to present the story of New Americans over station WNYC.
Thank you, Mrs. Levine. One Early Morning was written by Milton Robertson, radio director of United Jewish Appeal, and directed by Raymond Lehrer. Won't you please write a postcard and let us know how you like this series? Just drop a line to Department of Public Information, United Service for New Americans, 15 Park Row, New York 7. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.